As the midterm election campaigns shift into high gear now, issues of religion and politics inevitably come to the fore. Interfaith Alliance has released updated versions of our election guides to help both candidates and houses of worship navigate these waters. John Pomerantz is a nationally recognized election law attorney, widely respected for his depth of knowledge. John is a longtime collaborator with Interfaith Alliance in our advocacy work around political campaigning, and he is an invaluable partner in ensuring that the information we provide to candidates and houses of worship is as up-to-date and accurate as possible. John, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
It's my pleasure, Wilton. Thanks for inviting me.
Do you think that enough voters actually take these issues seriously enough?
I think that people don't think about the legal implications. I think that they understand elections are important, and sometimes that gets people excited and riled up, and they want to get involved, and they just don't always think about whether or not it ought to be their church or their synagogue or their mosque that ought to be involved in it.
And, you know, typically, John, I find that they think other people's houses of worship should pay attention to it, even if they don't.
I think that's right.
Well, what about candidates? Is it the same for them?
Well, candidates, of course, they're focused on winning their election, and that's all right. That's what they're supposed to be about. And they certainly don't think about whether they might be getting their friends in trouble when they try and speak at a church or get a church mailing list or something like that.
If a candidate breaks the IRS regulations, it's not the candidate that gets punished for it. It's the house of worship in which the candidate made the mistake.
Oh, that's absolutely right. They'll be just as elected, and they won't have to pay any sort of fine at all. But the charity or the church that helped them, they're the ones that are going to get in trouble.
How can we help people understand where the line is drawn between appropriate and inappropriate, legal and illegal?
Right. It is hard, and the IRS, unfortunately, in Congress, hasn't made it any easier for us because they haven't given us any real clear guidelines about what is or is not okay. Instead, they say that any time there's a question about whether or not a church has stepped over the line and impermissibly intervened in an election, they're going to evaluate it on a case-by-case, facts and circumstances basis. Now, that said, I think the benchmark, the rule that you need to follow is that if it looks like you're trying to help or hurt some candidate to get elected, that's a problem for your church. But it's perfectly okay for a church to do nonpartisan work to encourage their congregants to exercise their right to vote and to think about their vote in the context of their faith. I think that's entirely appropriate.
For example, John, a congregation could even do a voter registration campaign. They just can't do a voter registration campaign for people who are going to vote for only their candidate.
That's exactly right. They can do a voter registration campaign. They can drive folks to the polls. They can organize people to help volunteer at the polls. All of that's fine. But if it looks like you're favoring or disfavoring a candidate, that's a problem.
Is that really the kind of line in the sand of whether you're trying to advance someone or hurt someone?
That's it. The IRS has said you're not allowed to intervene in an election. And the way they interpret that is if it looks like you're trying to influence that outcome, that's your problem.
What comes to mind as one of the most common legal problems that comes up during an election campaign?
I think it's very common in any election for the members of a particular faith to feel more attached to one of the candidates, and there's a natural inclination to want to talk about that election in church. And I think that you have to resist that temptation.
Yeah.
There really does need to be a separation between the work of the church and the day-to-day politics, even though you may have somebody who's a member of your faith running for office or somebody who clearly shares very fundamental beliefs with you. You've got to keep that separation.
Even if you are convinced that one person is the person that needs to be elected for the good of your religion and the morality of the nation, it is not a violation of your free speech to discipline yourself to not endorse that candidate.
That's right. We're not saying that you, as an individual member of that tradition, can't go out and work for that candidate or contribute to that candidate if you feel deeply that they are the right choice for the country. The key is you're not supposed to use the charitable resources of the church to intervene in the political arena. Mm-hmm. So if you as a congregant want to go out there and knock doors and tell people to vote for this candidate, that it's very important, I hope you'll do that. I want people engaged in our democracy. But I don't want you to take advantage of the resources that have been supported by tax-exempt charitable dollars and use that to favor one candidate over another.
Let's talk about how listeners can get directly involved if they witness lines being crossed. They can do that by going to interfaithalliance.org/elections and filling out an Eye on the Election report. What should they be on the lookout for? Can you give them a couple of examples?
Sure. If it looks like there are political events happening on church property, or if a church is using its own methods of communication, say a newsletter or a website or a social media site, to communicate favorably or disfavorably about candidates, that's the sort of thing that would be a problem. One of the things we've seen in recent election cycles is churches giving their membership lists to candidate campaigns, and that's a problem just as surely as if the church had made a cash contribution to the mm-hmm. campaign. So there's something to look out for.
So, John, okay, I want to complicate that just a little bit. So what happens if a well-intended member of a congregation shares the congregation's address book or contacts book, but the church itself doesn't endorse that?
Right. Well, the church isn't going to get in trouble with the IRS for that. Although I do think that the member of the church who shared that information might want to think about whether that is an appropriate use of a church directory and might really be invasive of the privacy of his or her fellow congregants.
John, do you see things getting better or getting worse in this regard overall?
I'm a born optimist. Well, not, I'm going to say I hope it's getting better. I think people are becoming more aware of this separation between the church and the politics of this country. I do think that the IRS is going to, again, take this up, and that increased enforcement will perhaps encourage people to think more carefully about this. For a number of years, there's been some question about the IRS and its ability to audit churches mm-hmm. For violations of this law. And now we've seen some recent evidence to suggest that the IRS is again taking a look at churches and really going after some that may have stepped over the line.
There are religion-based organizations that actually are encouraging churches and their leaders to intentionally violate this. I mean, I know that's not right, but John, what should be the response? I mean, should we be reporting those kinds of breaches of faith regarding elections, or should we say, well, that's really not none of our business, we'll just let someone else take care of it?
Well, I do think that there are a number of efforts that are based on a very certain belief that the IRS has somehow crossed the line in its enforcement against churches, in particular in this area of political mm-hmm. activity, and they're trying to get churches to step up as test cases. I certainly sometimes tell my clients, well, it's really uncertain whether or not you can engage in this activity or that activity, and if you'd like to be a test case, I'd be glad to represent you. But realistically, I don't think anybody wants to be a test case, or except maybe a very few. I think if you're approached by one of these efforts, you should think seriously about whether or not you want to martyr yourself to prove their point. I wouldn't advise any of my clients to get involved in something like that, and we'll see what, if anything, happens to the groups that do.
John Pomerantz is a nationally recognized expert on the law governing lobbying and election-related activity by tax-exempt organizations. John, I'm really grateful to you for the important work that you do with Interfaith Alliance on these issues, and I'm thankful as well for you being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
My pleasure. Right here at my current firm of Harmon, Curran, Spielberg, and Eisenberg, we love working on this stuff, and I'm always happy to talk about it.